My name is Alan Morse, and today we are going to be talking about the paradise. Paradise, and we've dealt with paradise with the Old Testament saints, and we dealt with paradise with the Jews that were after the cross up to this day in paradise. They all went to paradise, and now we're going to be dealing with the body of Christ and or the Christian church. And we'll find that very likely that the church will be in the same boat, that many, many people that are Christians today will not die and go to heaven. They'll go to paradise because they left out the one most important thing that God gave each and every person from the Old Testament saints all the way to the Jews and also now to the church, and that's the gospel. You see, Jesus pointed to the gospel for salvation for the body of Christ. Gave it to Paul directly. We saw that time and time again in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He said, I didn't get this gospel from man, neither was I taught it by man, but I was given to him by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get our Bibles out. This is Al Moore speaking, and get your Bibles and your pencils out, and we're going to start talking about the church dealing with paradise. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts. Acts. When you talk about the church, we first have to talk about the leader and who God pointed to give us the gospel. And let's turn to Acts chapter 9, and let's look at verses 15. This is just after he was on the road to Damascus, and he was struck blind by the Lord Jesus, and Jesus talked to him, and then they took him into Damascus, and then Jesus went to see Ananias and told Ananias to go get Paul. And he was scared too, because Paul was called Saul at that time, and he was there to persecute the Christians. But look at what it says in verse 15. He says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, this was Saul of Tarsus at the time, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. That's you and me, and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer in my sake. He was a chosen vessel from Jesus Christ to go to the Gentiles. No one else ever did. Peter, James, and John never claimed to be to go to the Gentiles. They never did. And they weren't, that just wasn't their deal. They were Jews, and they just didn't like Gentiles, and that's just the way they were raised. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we see also verses 13. Romans 11:13. We see that he says, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, as much as I am the, not a, the apostle of the Gentiles." He says, and I magnify my office. Now, what's a Gentile? A Gentile is any person in this world that's not a Jew. You see, we're not the children of Israel. The Bible, all except Paul's writings, virtually totally point to the Jew. Written by the Jew and spoken to the Jew. Jesus said, told the world, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus didn't come here to the Gentiles. But now he has appointed, after the cross, he has appointed Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. People's got to understand that. Now, let's turn to back again to in Acts chapter 11, verses 26. Acts chapter 11, verses 26. And this is dealing with, now we're dealing with the Christian church. And it's tremendously important. Paul was the person who started the body of Christ, and the church was started, and it was the first church that was listed in Scripture and was called Christian was at Antioch. Look what it says here. Look at 26, verse 26. It says that, and when he had found him, that's when Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, when he found a group of people that were interested in and believed in the gospel. He said, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves into the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This was somewhere in around 11 years, somewhere in that vicinity, after Pentecost. And that wasn't, the church didn't start at Pentecost, because it was the impossible, because Peter and James and John were primarily right at Pentecost, and the 12 disciples were on stage as far as that's concerned, and it was all dealing with the Jews. They were getting Jews to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Had nothing to do with the body of Christ. The Messiah wasn't involved in the body of Christ, see. We don't look at Jesus as the Messiah. He is our Savior because we believe what he told us to believe, and that was the gospel for our salvation. A lot of Christians, a huge amount of pastors and heads of denomination are preaching and had preached for the last 100 years that the church, the body of Christ, was started at Pentecost, which is a lie from heaven, from hell, I mean, because it couldn't have happened. And the reason why it was a lie from hell is that it would be, people would take Peter, James, and John's messages, which were pointed directly to the Jew, and put it to the church, and we aren't involved in the Jewish religion whatsoever. Have nothing to do with the Jewish religion. We're not supposed to. Our salvation isn't based on only one thing, and that's believing the gospel, and then God takes care of us from then on. He moves in us with the Holy Spirit, and he guides and directs us all the rest of our life, and it's up to him to keep us, and we've seen that many times in the Scriptures. So it's tremendously important people understand we are not a part of the Jewish religion that Peter, James, and John taught, as far as that's concerned. Let me show you. Let's turn back. We're in Acts. Let's just go back to chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about, that Peter, James, and John and the 12 were dealing only with Israel. And they say it. Let's look at 2:22. It says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved." But look what he said. Who's he talking to? "You men of Israel." See, he's not talking to the Jews. And he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know." Who's he talking to? "You men of Israel." That's Peter speaking at Pentecost. He's not talking to Gentiles. Look at verse 36. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel." Are we a member of the house of Israel? No. "Know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And what do they say? "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter," who's they? Israel. When Israel heard this, those people of Israel, and they said, unto Peter and the rest of the apostles. See, he's talking to Peter. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Who's we? Israel. And what did Peter tell them? Did he tell them? Believe the gospel. That's salvation for the body of Christ. No. He says, repent. There's no repenting in the body of Christ. We don't have to repent. We just believe the gospel, and God takes it from there. And be baptized. We don't be baptized. Baptism is works, and we're not involved in works. We're under the grace of God. See, grace means unmerited favor. See, baptism is not involved. Water baptism is not involved whatsoever for a true Christian. See, but the true Christians went to Peter, James, and John and got this. See, that's what I say. And then when you're baptized, when you're saved, it's a part of your salvation. Let's just look right. This was turn to First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. People got to understand this. When you're baptized, when you're saved, you've got a problem. A big problem, because it's works, and God won't have it. Because Jesus did it all on the cross. He did it all on the cross. He said, look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. He told Paul not to baptize. Why? Because it's a works, and the body of Christ has no works in the body of Christ. All we do is put our faith and our belief in the gospel, and in doing so, we're saved, and we add nothing to it. See, God won't have it. He says not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You see, the churches don't even preach the gospel today. I've been in the church for 70 years and never heard the gospel preached once in my whole life. Every Sunday I was in church, and Sunday night, and mostly on Wednesdays. It's just always involved in everything there is to do. I had church in my own house and had a pastor called into my house, and we had people in my house for 18 years. And the only reason why they left it is because the preacher had a bigger house, and they went to it so they could hold more people. But he never preached the gospel one time. Never. Never heard it. You see. Why? What does it say here? Preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. I mean, it's just preach it. Don't just, you know, there's nothing flattery about it. You just tell it the way it is. Why? Lest the cross of Christ should become of no effect. If Christ, if his death on that cross is no effect to you, it means that you're still in your sins, you see. And if you be baptized, part of your salvation, you're not saved. It's impossible. The book says so. I don't. The cross of Christ becomes of no effect. So that's what's happened to the church today. Number one, the church doesn't preach the gospel for salvation in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the most important verse in the Bible. And it lays out the gospel for your salvation, just as plain as day, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And when you believe that, you are saved. And in Ephesians 1:13 says, as soon as you believe that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You see, and the churches today aren't sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's just beyond my imagination. People, the church has added works to salvation, and thus the church is not saved. They think they are, but they're not. Turn to Matthew. Even Jesus said it. People say, you just hang on to Paul too much. No, I don't. Jesus said it in his own words. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, I've said it time and time again, and Jesus shows it just as plain as day. Let's look at, he had just talked to the rich man who asked how I should be saved. What did he tell him? He said, you, under the law. He couldn't tell him anything different. He had to keep the commandments. He said that. Which ones? He said, well, he named several of them. He said, I've kept them ever since I've been a young person. And then he turned and said to him, then let's just go, what else must I do? And he said, go sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. And look what the disciples said, verse 25. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can then be saved? Who then can be saved? You know, there's no, it's almost impossible. And what did Jesus tell them? And he beheld them. He brought them in close to him where they all understand it's near this. And Jesus beheld them and said unto him, with man, this is impossible. What's impossible? Salvation. There's nothing that we can do for our salvation. Not one thing, you see. There's no works. No works of righteousness. No nothing. We can't do nothing for salvation. But with God, all things are possible. You see, and he was just a few days from the cross, and God provided salvation for the whole world when he and pointed to the cross. He didn't point to Jesus, he pointed to what Jesus did. And what Jesus did is he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when we believe that, called the gospel, that's called the gospel, when we believe that, we are saved. And it's only through belief in the gospel we're saved, and you add nothing to it. So the body of Christ is a group of people that are saved because they believe the gospel, and this is the Christian church. This is what the Christian church was supposed to be about. The gospel. Nothing else. That Paul didn't preach the gospel to anybody. I mean, to everybody. Just turn to, let's go clear over to the right and get to Colossians. Go over to Colossians. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1, and let's show you what the how important this gospel is, and why the Christians have turned their back on the gospel. It's just hard to even comprehend such a thing. Let's start with verse 21. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own wicked works, yet he hath reconciled us to. He reconciled. He did. We didn't work to be reconciled. He did it. How did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. See, through his death on that cross, he reconciled us. What to do? To present you holy. Who's going to do it? He's going to do it. He's going to present you, as soon as you believe this gospel, you present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. See, the second you believe the gospel, this is what happens. You are forgiven, presented as far as God is concerned, you're holy. And you're unblameable, and you're unreprovable inside. Keep your finger right there, and look across the page, and like in my book, anyway, in chapter 2, and look at verses 13. He says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's the Gentiles, had he quickened, or made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all. Not just one or two, he's forgiven you all. All trespasses. In other words, we can stand before God totally holy, unblameable, unreprovable, go back to 22 in his sight. But there's an if there. Here's the if there. But if you continue in the faith. Now, what's the faith? You can ask 10 different ministers and they'll all tell you the same thing. Faith in Jesus and his teaching. No, it's not faith in Jesus and his teachings. It's faith that is grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It didn't say anything about faith in Jesus. It's faith in the gospel, and the gospel is what he did. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. Now look what it says, which you have heard. Who's he talking to? Colossians. Which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister. I said all this to say this. Why did the church turn away from preaching the gospel? Why did they do it? Well, it's Satan. Satan. And he has totally, totally destroyed the church today. There's very few churches that preach the gospel, and there's no salvation for anybody unless you believe the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He has blinded. You see, the Christians, the Jews, were blinded by after they crucified the Lord by God and set aside. See, totally set aside. But they were saved. They're not one of them is going to die and go to hell. Not the true believers of Jews, the ones that truly believe in God. They'll never go to hell. They're going to go to paradise. See, there's no, the Bible says so. This is plain as day. They are not going to go to hell, and so that they've died by the, over 2,000 years worth of dead Jews had lived their lives and died, and they believed God, and God is going to have mercy on them, and they're going to be in paradise, and then He's going to go back and preach to them just like He did the Old Testament saints, and they will believe Him too. That will be after the tribulation too. And I believe that now Satan has copied them totally. He's copied them. And what does he do? He's blinded the Christians. He's blinded the Christians to the gospel, and he's pointed them to Judaism, to the teachings of Jesus, which only taught to the Jews, see. And Peter, James, and John only taught the Jews, see. He turned them away from Paul's writings, and he was the only apostle for you and me. None of the others were apostles to us. It was only Peter, it was only Paul, and he was given the gospel. And the gospel has nothing to do with works, nothing to do with Judaism, nothing to do for believism, only believing in, we just read it, in the gospel. You see, we're grounded and settled in our faith is in the gospel. You see. Okay. Let's look at chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, and we'll show you what I'm talking about. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Who's lost? But if our gospel be hid, if you don't know the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them, people who don't believe the gospel, see. They're lost in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan is. He's been the God of this world since Adam dropped the ball clear back in year one, see. And he took over totally. You could go in Matthew chapter 4, we won't do it, but Jesus and Satan went up to a high mountain, and he looked over the whole world somewhere. He could see all the nations of the world, and old Satan told Jesus, I'll give all these nations to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And of course he did, and he told him to get behind him, Satan, who only worships God. But he still had the whole world, and he still does. And look what he does. He said, in whom God hath blinded the mind, and the God of this world, which is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Believe not what? Well, the gospel. Look what it says. Least the light of this glorious gospel that Paul proclaimed, that given to him by Jesus Christ, this gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Satan doesn't want us to see the gospel. And I was 70 years old before I saw the gospel. And God opened my eyes, and I was able to see it. And as soon as I told the Lord I believed the gospel, the Holy Spirit came into me, just like it says in Ephesians 13. And I've been studying the book like everything ever since, and teaching the gospel. And it wasn't me doing it. It's God doing it through me. You see, because all I'm doing is showing you what the book says, and it's just tremendous what God has done for us. But we've been blinded. We have been blinded, and we've got. And people don't understand that, but we have, and I know it for a fact. And it's just tremendously important that we could understand that. I really believe that because of this verse right here is the reason why we're having so much trouble. We've all been blinded. Let's turn, and Satan has taken over in the church. Let's go. Let's look. We're in 2 Corinthians. Just look at chapter 11. Turn to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's what's happening in our world today. It says, verse 13, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You see, therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers, and that's what's standing in the pulpit today, see, if they're not preaching the gospel, if they're not preaching the gospel, they're Satan's ministers. That's all there is to it. Therefore, there's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness. We think all these preachers on TV, they're all wonderful Christian people. They don't have a clue, you see. They don't have a clue. And even if they got an inkling, they still add works to salvation. How many times have you been told you can't be saved unless you're baptized? How many times you said when you well, in order to be a good Christian, you've got to join a church. In order to be a Christian, you've got to pray to Mary. You've got to pray to the saints. You know, and you've got to speak in tongues. I've had a minister of 40 years told me, I know what salvation is. You've got to believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus isn't salvation. You've got to understand that. You see, Satan that believes in Jesus, and he's not saved. All the Muslims believe in Jesus, and they're not saved. You see, and all the cults of the world believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the gospel, but none of them believe the gospel. You can believe the gospel, you automatically believe in Jesus, but you can't believe in Jesus and automatically believe the gospel, and that's the problem, see. That's the problem. So, we're in a situation where we got to go so fast, but anyway, I'm going to close in a minute or two, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe that the people today, under the true Christian that truly believes in Jesus and have been blinded to the gospel, I believe that God, his grace will be sufficient for them. And they will go to heaven because they don't have the Holy Spirit. You only get it when you believe the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to believe the gospel, and then he gives you the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with it. You have to have that in order to be saved, to go to heaven. See, no one goes to heaven without the Holy Spirit. And they don't believe the gospel. But because they've been blinded. They believe in Jesus, just like the Jews. They believed in God, but they didn't even believe in Jesus, and God's mercy covered them. And I think the true Christian that don't believe the gospel, I think when they die, they'll go directly to paradise. And then God will eventually get to paradise and show them the gospel, and they too will believe the gospel. Let's look at this one verse, and then I'll have to close. It says, verse 5, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring a light to the hidden things of darkness and will bring manifest the counsel of their hearts. He will look into their hearts, and then every man will have praise of God. I truly believe the church will end up in paradise, but God will bring them out of there and teach and show them the gospel, and they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will come to be in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and open the minds of these people and hear these words, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ through the gospel. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.